In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, throughout the season of Epiphany, we get to see a picture of Jesus become clearer and clearer. We see different layers of who Jesus is kind of peeled back little by little, and we gain a greater understanding of who he is and what he came to do. And this morning, we get to do the same thing as we see John the Baptist and his testimony about who Jesus is and what he came to do. And we see another layer kind of peeled back about who Jesus really is. And so this morning, we're going to do just that. We're going to look at John the Baptist and what he had to say. And there's a few things we're going to look at. We're going to look at John's view of himself. And then we'll look at John's view of Jesus. And finally, we'll just look at what that means for each of us. Let's start out with John's view of himself. We don't know a whole lot about John the Baptist. We know he was a relative of Jesus. We know that his father was a priest who worked in the temple. But other than that, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about John the Baptist and his background. That is until he becomes a man and he starts preaching expertly on all things spiritual out in the wilderness. And I say he preaches expertly because he gained a huge following. People came from all over the place out into a wilderness just to hear this man, John the Baptist, and his message. There were so many people that began to go out there that even the spiritual leaders of the Israelites, the priests, the Levites, the Pharisees, they had to go out and check this out for themselves. And so they did that exact thing. They sent some people out to check and see who John really was. And they go out and they ask John the Baptist a simple question. They asked him, "Are you the Christ?" Now that word Christ, it literally means anointed one. It's a term that the Israelites used because they would anoint kings and priests and prophets. They would anoint them with oil as they came into office. But when an Israelite heard that term, they wouldn't just think of a general person who was anointed. When they heard the word Christ, they would associate that with a savior, someone who was there to really restore their nation, the entire nation of Israel, to its previous glory as a powerhouse in the world. That's what they thought of when they heard this term Christ or Messiah. And so the spiritual leaders, they asked John if that's who he was. "Are you the Christ?" And John, his response to that was, "No, I am not the Christ." And so they wanted to figure out who he was. So they asked, "Okay, are you the prophet, this great prophet who was promised to come?" He said, "No, I'm not." They said, "Are you the Elijah?" And he said, "No, I'm not that either." It's interesting. Because John, he had this extremely low view of himself. He said, I'm none of those things. And yet, when you look at what Jesus says about John in Matthew chapter 11, he says something completely different. This is the words of Jesus about John in Matthew 11. He says, "What did you go out into the desert to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come." You see, John, he says, "No, I'm not Elijah. I'm not this great prophet." And Jesus says, "John, you're wrong. John is this great prophet. He is the Elijah to come. In fact, he says that John, there's no one greater than John who has ever been born." He's saying John is the greatest of all time. He's the GOAT. John, he had this low view of himself, didn't he? Maybe too humble, maybe too low of an opinion about who he was. And when that happens, don't we usually say, "Oh, that person, they've got a low self-esteem." How does a person get like that? How does a person get low self-esteem? Usually it's because of one of two things. It's either because they're too critical of themselves, they focus on themselves too much, and they see their mistakes, their failures, they see how they don't measure up to their own standards. They're kind of a perfectionist, and they see how they've failed, and that leads to a low self-esteem. Or it's focusing not too much on themselves, but too much on what the world says is important and what the world values. Just a quick example of that. Just think about all of the advertisements and commercials you see on TV and how the people that are chosen to be in those commercials are all models, right? They're all flawless physically. And you think of how young people, I feel so bad for young people these days, because they see all these commercials with all these flawless people, and they see how they maybe just don't quite measure up to that perfection. It's no wonder teen depression has been on the rise for the last 15, 20 years. It's because they see what the world says is important and values, and they don't quite measure up. Now, the point is that oftentimes, if you look at what the world says is important and you focus so much on what the world values, it's going to lead to a low self-esteem because you're never going to measure up to the perfection that the world demands. Now, maybe just a minute or two just to think about some of the applications for this. Where do you find your value? Where do you find your sense of worth in this world? If you leave God out of the picture, then you're going to find your value in either what the world says is important, or you're going to find it in what you say is important. You're either going to be looking to the world and to your peers, to your family, to your friends, to what the world says is important and invaluable, and you're going to be trying to measure up to that standard. Or you're going to find yourself saying, I don't really care what the world says. I know what's important. I know what I'm worth. I know my value. Now back to John the Baptist. Does John the Baptist seem like that kind of a person? Does he fall into those categories? Does he seem like a guy with low self-esteem? Well, just take a look at some of his own words. Here's what our text says. It says, John said this. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." What is John doing here is he's pointing people to Jesus. What is a person who has low self-esteem do? Don't they usually try to get more and more people gathered around them? Don't they try and get more friends, more people to really praise them and love them and care for them? Isn't that what a person with low self-esteem does? And yet John isn't doing that at all. Isn't he pointing people away from himself, pointing people towards Jesus? Look at what else he says. It says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Right? John wasn't trying to get more and more people to follow him. John was saying, here's the guy you should be following. Here's the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God who has come to take away all of your sins. He is the guy that you should be following. John is placing himself far beneath Jesus. And yet what's interesting is he doesn't seem like the kind of guy with such low self-esteem that he's trying to get more and more people to follow him. John is an extremely bold person. Just an example of that. Just before our text, the Pharisees, they came and they asked John the Baptist why he was baptizing. And here's why they cared. It's because for the last 2,000 years, the way for someone to be initiated into Judaism, into the Jewish faith, was through circumcision. And now, John is introducing something new. He's saying baptism is the way into God's family. And this baptism, it wasn't just for men. It was for men and women and young and old. And in introducing this, John was basically saying that to get into God's kingdom, it doesn't matter if you're male or female or rich or poor or black or white or anything. None of that matters. Instead, John is really saying that all that matters is turning to Jesus, the Lamb of God. John is so bold that he is going against 2,000 years of Jewish history, and he doesn't care what everybody else says. That does not sound like a guy with low self-esteem who's trying to get more and more people to follow him. So what does this all mean for you and me? Well, let's just briefly recap John. John had this extremely humble view of himself, maybe even too low of a view of himself. And yet he was still extremely bold. He didn't care what people thought about him. He didn't care about getting more and more people to follow him. He went against the grain of society. So how does someone get like that, where they're extremely humble and yet bold not caring what other people think. Well, John got like this because he built his identity not on what the world says, not on what he thought, but on his relationship with God. And what was his relationship with God? Well, he says it in this beautiful statement, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." John knew that he was nothing compared to God. John was humble because he knew that the God who created him was standing there before him, an imperfect sinner. And yet he was bold because he knew that that God who was standing before him was there to die for him. He loved him and valued him that much. That's what led John to be humble and yet bold. Friends in Christ, your identity has to be based on your relationship with God. If it isn't, then it's going to be based on what the world thinks or what you think. And what does the world think? What does the world value? The world values success and money and career and looks, all of those things. That's what the world thinks is important. And if that's what you value, and sometimes we fall into the trap of overvaluing that, unlike John, but if that's what we find as being the most important thing, then it's only going to crush us. It's only going to destroy you. Because none of those things last. You can't take any of those things into eternity. So it's only going to destroy you if you think that's the most important thing in the world. And if you don't base your identity on that, then at times we fall into that trap of basing it on what we think is important and value. Just a quick example of that. I think of maybe like a young couple who is living together before they're married, even though they know that's not the way that God designed it. What do they end up doing? They're basically saying, "God, we don't really care what you have to say. We don't really care about our relationship with you. Our relationship with each other is far more important than that. God, you're wrong. We're right. And you know what, God? You still have to love us because that's what the Bible says. It says God is love." Now, that doesn't sound like a humility problem, does it? Doesn't that sound a little bit more like a pride problem? Unfortunately, that's something that you and I, we all do this at times. We build our identity on something other than our relationship with God. We build it on what we think. And in doing so, we're basically saying we know better than God. And there are things that are far more valuable than our relationship with God. But that's why John the Baptist is such an important person. It's because John, he didn't just come to people 2,000 years ago and point them to their Savior. He comes to you and me, and he does the same thing. John really is the greatest of all time. He is the GOAT. He's the greatest prophet as he points you and me to our Savior as well. As he says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." These words of John, they're for you and me as well. He tells us exactly who Jesus is and what he came to do. 1,500 years before this, the Lord instituted an interesting practice for the Israelites. Every year, the high priest was to take a goat, and he was to put his hands on the goat. And in doing so, he was kind of signifying the sins of the Israelites being placed on this goat. And then after he did that, he would take this goat, and he would send it off into the wilderness all by itself. And in doing so, he was kind of signifying again the sins of the people being cast away from them and being placed on this goat. That was called the scapegoat. God introduced that to the Israelites at Mount Sinai 1,500 years before this. And they were to do it every year so that when they actually saw their Savior come, they would recognize it. Because that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Even though he never sinned, God placed all the sins of the world on Jesus, the Lamb of God. Even though he did nothing wrong, God cast Jesus outside of his presence, away, as all those sins were on him. Even though he didn't deserve it, God placed Jesus up on the cross to die a death that no one deserves, especially the sinless Son of God. You see, God did all of that to Jesus because that's what Jesus was. He was the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world, the sins of you, the sins of me, the sins of John, the sin of the world. That's what Jesus came to take. John the Baptist, he knew that is exactly what Jesus came to do. He knew that he was in the presence of God, and that's what humbled him. But he also knew that God was there to be the Lamb, to take away all of his sins and die for him. And that's what gave him this boldness, knowing that the God who made him loved him enough to die for him. Friends, like John, build your identity on that relationship with God. Like John, look to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Look to Jesus as your God. Look to Jesus as your God who has died for you and taken all your sins on himself. Like John, build your identity on your relationship with your loving God. Do this and live a bold yet humble life. Amen.